Charlotte is an ordnance officer in the U.S. Army, and she had naval experience, and she was on a special operations team also, and she's real careful about her opinions, but she's been on the range and fired a lot of weapons being an ordnance officer, and she's hearing something that's over there are two different machine guns.
It's quite easy as being two people in the same room firing one out of each window, for example. Well, there were other people in that room.
Yeah,
and I think it's pretty clear that Stephen Paddock wasn't one of the shooters. He may even be.
Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I agree with you on that opinion. Is that he was this mysterious person they're talking about that had a meal with him, and there's maybe paraphernalia left like a charger and stuff. You remember that UCLA psychologist that always showed up and talked to Sirhan, talked to Jack Rubenstein and all that? This is the kind of person controller. He had a controller there the last few days that controlled him on a Manchurian type of a basis. See what I mean?
But it would be, I mean, what they do is they'll befriend them.
Yeah.
I mean, it might even be that if he had any kind of informal links to the FBI, of course, he wouldn't have told anyone about that.
Right.
And it also would have been quite normal for him to be having dealings with someone who was undercover FBI.
Yeah.
And he knew nobody else knew, so he probably would have trusted them, etc. But then there is this very interesting postulation, which has come from the Trump camp.
Okay.
And allegedly leaked from the police in Las Vegas with photographs and some texts apparently from the police. And those photographs were genuine. That is that there was actually an FBI sting operation going on, in that there were ISIS operatives, whatever that means, in the hotel who were doing some sort of arms deal with Stephen involved. But the whole deal was then compromised. So in other words, that the ISIS people were told that he was working for the FBI, he was spying on them, etc., which would explain the little cameras in the trolley, this kind of thing. And then they decided that they were going to kill the guy from the FBI and then kill loads of people as well. But one of the most fascinating aspects of this is Rita Katz and AMAC news agency both claiming it as a genuine ISIS attack. Now, I think anyone that looks at Stephen Paddock can tell it's not an ISIS attack from Stephen Paddock. So there has to be something else going on. Either the information coming out of Rita Katz, the site intelligence site, which all of the Western media rely on as cast iron evidence that ISIS is claiming attacks, as well as the AMAC news agency, is rubbish. So what we can say from this attack and from them claiming this, that is absolute nonsense, most of what they've been saying. That is, if what we're being told by the FBI, by the authorities, that Stephen Paddock being behind this, or a lone gunman, is true. And I really don't think it is. So potentially what's happened here is there's been some sting operation by the FBI, and what that email says, and I imagine you've seen it too, George, is that the FBI is so embarrassed that they were doing illegal activities on American soil that they don't want the truth to be known. So basically Stephen Paddock is the patsy. He's the guy who takes the blame, takes the rap for criminals within the FBI. And I think that's actually quite a likely scenario. You know, it fits the evidence. And the idea of Paddock himself doing it on his own because he has no profile, no motive, etc., doesn't fit the evidence at all.
There is a video showing a man firing, you wearing a security jacket and crouching down real low, firing into the crowd, but you only see him maybe a second and a half or second and a quarter of it, and then the camera is jerking around, you know. That's the problem with some of this, is that the people viewing the country music performance started filming evidently on some of their cameras, and then when the firing started, those cameras were, after they started running and panicking, they started, you know, jerking around, and you couldn't get steady video on some of it. See?
Well, look, I think the real hero of this, I mean, okay, so the Las Vegas police have been doing as much as they can in the face of, effectively, they're right in the middle of a mafia city. They're right in the middle of an FBI zone, so it's very difficult for them to even speak, you know, to the public. It becomes very difficult.
Yeah,
this woman, Brianna Hendricks,
yeah.
I mean, she, in a way, gives everybody an absolute green light that this is not what it seemed, right? These two Hispanic people who were going around 45 yeah. minutes inside the concert before the
right.
shooting started, saying that you're all going to bleep bleep die, right?
Right.
Now, they were, to me, this really strikes, I mean, this is more Charles Manson than it is ISIS, if you ask me. It's a kind of horrific thing to do, and it's a very, very similar to a kind of mafia threat, isn't it? You know, before they come and bump you off, the mafia come around and tell you they're going to bump you off. This is exactly like that kind of situation. It may also be because they're Hispanic, they're linked to the drug dealings in drug cartels in Mexico or Colombia, somewhere like that, you know, which would absolutely fit with the modus operandi of the FBI and the CIA intelligence services. This is the way they operate. But that, to me, I think is one of the most amazing aspects of this, that Brianna Hendricks has told us that this was and going around playing with people's hair, you know, invading their personal space, their own private space, behaving very, very strangely, and really disturbing people. So I think that that shows that the mafia are involved, and possibly drug runners, intelligence services. They can't resist going in there and sort of just putting their signature
yeah,
on this.
Paddock, Stephen, had a lot of characteristics with a couple of planes and plenty of money, and he could have been money laundering for interest. He could have been a front man for contact with ISIS. There could have been a lot of different, you know, connections.
I think the whole point is to get everyone to focus on him. I think he was, it doesn't look to me as if he's really involved, you know, he, as a patsy, I think he probably, until somebody came into his room or whatever, threatened him, etc., probably didn't know what on earth was going on. It doesn't look like the guy, sort of guy who would be associated with all these guns suddenly arriving in his room. It may be that he was held prisoner in that room. I would very much
something like
to know
that
the estimated
yeah.
time of death, because
right.
I would suspect that it may even have been before the shooting started, George, so they hadn't given that out.
Yeah.
But remember, there was over an hour between the end of the machine gunning of the people and the arrival of the SWAT team in the room. So in an hour, a lot can happen, a lot can happen.
Well, there was that security guard that went in 10 minutes after the firing had stopped and was on to that room and the location of the so-called, you know, sniper there. And he supposedly shot through the door and injured the security guard. Then the security guard backs off and brings in the authorities, and then they start taking guests out off of that floor and the subsequent lower floors and clearing out the hotel to secure it before they went in. So that's the sort of timeline, okay?
Yeah. On this side. So, cui bono, we have to ask this every time. Who benefits from this? Well, it looks to me as if the major effect of this is going to be calls to gun control.
Yeah,
now, who
exactly.
is it that controls the guns? It's
right.
the FBI. At the moment, the FBI are major, obviously, every one of them is armed pretty much, and they are the guys who would like, as a sort of internal security service, to have a monopoly on guns. And so a lot of the trails, it seems to me, lead right back to the FBI here. And I think we really need to, you need a very courageous police force. And I'm not sure that the Las Vegas police are going to be up.
One of the points...
on the FBI. I mean, I don't know what you think, George.
Could a city
police force, like Lombardo, actually take the FBI on to arrest them, interrogate them, this sort of thing?
Well, here's the deal in Vegas. Many of the victims that were there attending made note of it and testified that the police only had handguns, the Vegas police, to fight against these assault weapons and these machine guns. And so that's they usually carry stuff in their trunks in most municipal police, systems. Maybe the Vegas police just didn't have, access on their, carrying them.
Yeah, I don't think, George, to be honest with you, I don't know, even if they'd have had heavy machine guns in their pockets, like three or four of them, they would have been able to do very much, really.
Well, the
other
problem...
Than fire maybe bazookas into the hole in the...
Now, here's the problem.
In the hotel.
Here's the problem with this, Tony. There was firing coming from multiple locations, and this is where it even confused the police as to where the firing was coming from. And so that really... was it was crossfire and stuff like that going on, much like happened in Dealey Plaza. See what I mean? And now they focus in on this one.
I wouldn't necessarily concur. I mean, obviously you're physically closer, but I mean, I've looked at it, I haven't seen any really strong evidence of fire coming from anywhere else.
Well, now
there's been a lot of pointing. I think it's the fourth floor. That is definitely not a shooter or muzzle flashes. That is a flashing light in that room, and I don't think we necessarily need to say that there were other locations. It may even been several shooters in that room.
Now there's a lady.
Other people in the hotel surely would have testified, hey, you know, three or four rooms down from me or opposite from me in the hotel, there was another guy shooting, you know, I could hear it. You know, that
Now, there was an interview done. I don't have the lady's name because Michael Savage advised her to get off the air and don't do any more interviews, even though her name supposedly was came up in a White House briefing, okay? But she states that she and her husband were facing west, and there was a lady next to them facing the same way. To their right shoulder was the hotel where the 32nd floor would have been, and the girl standing next to them got hit right in the stomach. And she and her husband both were of the opinion that it couldn't have come from the 32nd floor, is what they said.
That sounds like a hell of a ricochet, doesn't it?
Yeah, now ricochets do occur. And that does happen, see. But we have one video of a guy crouched down wearing a jacket, security jacket, actually firing into the crowd. And then there's some Australian interviews with some Australians that were there that were never published here. And they're saying that there was firing on a ground level, is what they...
Let's take a step back from what happened for a minute. What is the meaning of this? First of all, it's in the heart of Mafia country, right? This is a Mafia.
Well, when you say Mafia today, they're not that public anymore. They've gone corporate now. And they're not...
They really want to hide all the time. So I would like to see some public statements by the Mafia and then saying, we've got nothing to do with this, we're quite happy to cooperate with the police, but they haven't said anything like that, have they? Also, we've got to also look at the potential connection with whatever ISIS is. Now, ISIS, to me, looks like a confected organisation where there's a lot of mercenaries and people like that who are being employed... basically to set up a kind of proxy terror gang, so you would have squads of ISIS people who will go under the name of ISIS, but what are they? You know, they're not necessarily ideologically motivated, they may just be paid large amounts of money. Most of the insurgency that's been going on in Syria over the last 4 or 5 years is just simply people who are just paid money to fight. Right. It's not an ideological side to it, they get paid a lot of money and they will swap around from ISIS to Al-Qaeda, to the Free Syrian Army, to al-Nusra, depending on who pays them the most. You know,
right.
So I think we need to look at the potential squad behind this as just simply a bunch of mercenaries of some sort who have been put up to it.
Well,
connected with the Mossad and the Israeli intelligence.
There's no reason that
it wasn't a foreign intelligence service rather than, you know, the FBI. Obviously, the FBI... There's a very, very strong likelihood here that there's something been going on. The FBI are embarrassed and they need to desperately to cover it up because they've been up to no good in Las Vegas. And it may even be that they've been duped by a foreign intelligence service, maybe MI6 or Mossad.
But since JFK, the deep state has been building together and working together. So it's hard to differentiate against the FBI and the mafia, old mafia, and the CIA and all that. They're all working together on some level together. That's the problem.
Let's just step even further back, another step back.
Yeah.
This is an attack on Trump. Okay, country music scene, which is very much pro-Trump generally. Against gun control. So this is an attempt to strip the citizens of their guns, which is, you know, it's not what we do here in Britain, but certainly I can see the arguments in the United States that the citizenry...
Exactly, you're right on that. We're not going to give our guns up. We're not going to give them up.
So I think you've got those two aspects of it are really important. you know, the country music and the gun control aspects of it, I think, are what we need to focus on. And, you know, let's stop going over the minutiae of Paddock's life. I mean, we know he worked for Lockheed Martin. That should be enough to know that he may well have secrets that they might want to keep quiet, and also that he may well have had connections to the FBI. Somebody like that is likely to be the sort of person the FBI would like to use, because they know that he's worked for the military industrial complex right in the heart of it. And so stop thinking about the Paddock. He's almost certainly Lee Harvey Oswald in this case, you know.
Exactly.
The guy
exactly.
He's supposed to look at. And let's just start finding out who else is in that hotel. Who was this security guard that was running off, or he was in a security guard's uniform? Why was the security guard running away, sprinting out of the hotel, trying to get away from the scene?
Right.
And there's all sorts of other bits of info, like the Hispanics. We need to trace them, George.
Right, right. That's for sure, because they interacted with several people there in that area. It's coming out now. They're not going to be able to keep this thing a lid on this not much longer. It's going to come out.
We need the FBI and we need the mafia both to be completely open and honest with us.
Yeah.
Because the FBI aren't and the mafia aren't. And I think what this effectively looks like is some kind of deep state operation, which is
Exactly. You're on top of it, Tony. It was a deep state operation to transform the gun control laws to a deeper level. See what I mean?
It's not a conspiracy theory. Look, the most likely, if his girlfriend and his brother and his next-door neighbor say he didn't do it, the chances are he didn't do it.
Right.
The most likely outcome is that he didn't do it. You know, this guy is friendly. He gets a bit rude sometimes, you know, like millionaires sometimes do. But let's not hold that against him. You know, basically, he was generous. He was quite clearly a generous guy. He's quite a nice fella. And that fits the profile, potentially, of an FBI operative. That is an agent of influence. He may well have been paid lots of money by the FBI. That would be very interesting to find out if we can discover that. But those are the two places I think we need to be looking for the culprits here. One is through covert FBI operations. Number two is the mafia. That's it, I think, George.
Yeah, right. Maybe midweek we can have another conversation. We'll know more by then. How's that sound?
So definitely. And I think what we need to do is get some of the names of the mafia in Las Vegas. Let's get them on the TV.
Well, I mean, no, they're operating through these corporate names, and these people are pretty clean that get those licenses now in corporate names and stuff. But the other guys, the old mafia members still have interest, but there's no group like that. You know what I mean? In formal.
Brianna Hendricks deserves a medal.
Yes, that's right. Well, Tony, thank you, man. You've got some good things to say about this. Oh, I did find out something. Charlotte and I did 30 minutes on Vegas and 30 minutes on Puerto Rico. There's a governmental agency in Puerto Rico called PP3. And PP3 manages, promotes, and puts together public-private partnership deals in Puerto Rico.
These are basically scams.
That's right. But this has been formalized by a governmental agency, a formal one that has a website called PP3 Puerto Rico. Yes.
And one of the investigations we did yesterday on our program in Bristol was into what they call Unit 8200 in Israel. Have you come across them, George?
No, I haven't. I haven't come across that.
Right, well, check them out, man. 8200 is producing the most educated and the most influential high-tech young tech gurus in the world. And, of course, they're all being put into the signals intelligence
cyber
warfare in Israel. And then once they come out of Unit 8200, they then get snapped up by these big tech companies. They're also given loads of money to do tech startups, and then they go out all over the world. They are the cutting edge, the leading edge of what they call cyber security. But then at the same time, that cyber security can be used against the people who trust it. In other words, it can be used for basically what they call the kill switch mentality. This kind of cyber warfare where If you get these people's software into key positions, say, for example, on the electricity grid, the telecommunications grid, they could just use it to close entire countries down.
Well, you make a good point there. What comes to my mind, a number of years ago, Cameron, reporting for CNN, I believe, came up with Amdocs as an Israeli company that has all the records on all of our phone calls, our cell phones and all that in the country.
Well, that they do. They were providing cover for the Israeli mafia to operate all over America doing drug dealing and whatever. And every time the law enforcement decided to get onto the Israeli mafia, then Amdocs would let them know, and they'd all change their phone numbers, change their habits, etc. So this is why they're very interested in high-tech cyber.
Yeah, well, that's good.
I'll
check this out. Well, thank you for the interview this evening, Tony. We'll talk midweek, say, Wednesday maybe, or something.
Yeah, also, just to remind your listeners of my radio show, that's at thisweek.org.uk, or you can find out all the latest about Las Vegas on our forum. It's the 911 UK forum. That is 911, the numbers, 911forum.org.uk.
Okay, well, thank you, Tony. And, boy, have a good evening. And have a good weekend, okay?
Bless you, George, and everyone else.
Okay, bless you. Good night.